and good afternoon. I'm Roger Waterson, and this is The Man in Line, Manx Radio's Sunday phone-in programme, where you can now take part, express your views, discuss your issues, and all you have to do is telephone us. The number to ring is 66 13 68. Of course, you can also use the texts and emails, text to 166 177, or you can email to studio at manxradio.com. In the earlier programme, we heard a documentary made by Michelle Jameson about the young voters in the Isle of Man and whether indeed there's apathy amongst them and what should be done about it, if anything. And now we have with us Isla Boyles and Matthew Unsworth. Now, Matthew got the award this year for the Outstanding Participant Award in this year's Junior Tynwald, where he spoke very enthusiastically and passionately about an issue which, unfortunately for him, quite a few of his fellow Junior Tynwald members didn't quite see it that way, did they, Matthew?
No, I think a bit too radical.
But what was it?
I brought up the idea of a universal basic income, which I think there was a vote recently on, in Switzerland, which where it was rejected. Yeah. But as a topic to raise, debate to raise, a bit of discussion between people, it seemed to work quite well.
Mm. Right, now we've got, as I say, a variety of issues here we could talk about, and we'd like you at home to join us, please, especially if you are listening and you're in the 16 to 22, 23 age bracket. Your calls would be very welcome. We don't get, just as we've talked about involvement and other things, we don't always get too many people of that age joining us on this programme. So we would like to. So bear in mind, it's open for everybody, 66 13 68. If you're off Ireland, the code number for that is 01624. And we can talk about other subjects as well. We don't just have to talk about youth and politics. We can tackle all sorts of subjects. There's, for instance, Talking Heads, our sister programme this week, dealt with a variety of topics, including should everyone in the Isle of Man play a part in keeping the island tidy, for instance. DEF has given 30,000 to beach bodies recently. In the UK, there is sometimes a claim that 1.5 million families across the in there suffer extreme debt due to collapse in the value of pay. So are families in the Isle of Man struggling with debt as well? And what we done with the former horse tram stables? Those are just three of the subjects that we tackled. Then, of course, our air services to and from the Isle of Man reliable? Travel watchers raise concerns over the delays and cancellations on the EasyJet Gatwick route, and one which is quite dear to the heart of some friends of mine, like Michael Sandel: would the island benefit from more public art projects? A mural's been painted on the wall just off North Quay in Douglas. Well, there we are. There's that subject. But anything else you might like to talk about, I'm sure our three guests would like to get their teeth into it as well. So 66 13 68. However, Michelle, let's perhaps go back to the topic for a minute. And do you have any suggestions, says our first caller, on how politicians can best reach out to young voters if you're saying they're not doing it?
Indeed. Well, as I said before, earlier in the programme, that, you know, social media, whether we like it or not, younger people, that is how we communicate in general terms I'm talking. Things on phones and iPads and laptops is the most accessible way of gathering information, or the way that we all tend to do. So although talking to someone face-to-face is great, I'm sure, that initial meeting is very unlikely to be made with any young person from being a first step. I would suggest that communicating through a social media or mobile device is potentially the first step to gather interest and to be very visual about things. Young people like visual things. They like not too many, well, I mean, I'm talking from where I can see, from my perspective, not too many words, nice big writing. And then perhaps once they've made that first step, then the second step of actually talking to someone face to face can be made, because it's quite daunting and scary to just talk to someone, I'd say, as a young person.
Well, you may say that, but you three are sitting here talking to me and talking to thousands of other people today. Are you finding it daunting?
I mean, I'm not finding it particularly daunting, but I think we perhaps are not fully representative of all 16 to 22-year-olds on the island. Mm. And if I was put in that situation maybe a year or so ago, I wouldn't have had that incentive to actually talk to an to a standing MHK.
Well, let's just go back, because I know Matthew had slight reservations for some of this before. Matthew, as far as the social media is concerned, I can see that it's an instant access means of getting at certain types of information, but how can you be certain with that media that you're getting the right information? Because it's notorious for people putting all sorts of things on which are questionable, or they don't identify themselves and anonymous. There's a lot of risk factor involved in it at the present time, isn't there?
There is a high risk factor, and I think also social media posts leave themselves susceptible to misinterpretation, you know, people actually picking up on the wrong point, not actually getting it in its proper context. But often on a social media account, there can be quite a wide variety of posts. Michelle mentioned before sort of links to other news maybe. And if you're being given a wide spread of things that you can possibly pick up on, then actually maybe that's a lot better for people than just one quite constrictive manifesto or a short interview, etc.
I mean, that's not quite what I was suggesting. I'm suggesting that the standing candidates themselves are putting the info onto the social media, just like handing out a manifesto. It's just the same. If you look at any sort of university degree or anything now, you get your information from them sending you something via an email that could easily be printed out and handed to you.
Now, Michelle has just said that she likes the visual impact to start with. So this is really more graphic design than it is politics in some instances here, if you just like pretty pictures. But let me say to you then, well, okay, we take it to a step further, and there's a long-term impact of digital and social media. But if you got that, you would have to start editing it in your own mind. What would you be looking for if you received that, or you got a blanket one even coming through?
If I was to receive an MHK's manifesto.
If he was campaigning on a website, or we used Facebook, as we just said.
I'd definitely initially look for any cause that would first attract me. So anything to do with university, even just education, and general issues around the island. But yes, it's quite tricky to sort of, because the leap has to be made between young people and politicians, and it's daunting for both to be able to connect, because politicians might be apprehensive over joining social media, as in the same way young people might be apprehensive over involving themselves in politics.
Do you think then, Michelle, that government, as we stand today, meets your personal needs?
I think that's an interesting question. I think I don't have enough of an involvement to be able to actually know whether they meet my needs. I'd say I don't know what my needs should be or are for me to know whether they meet my needs.
I ask that question because recent statistics in the UK show that about 45% of young people asked that question said no. So I'm curious to know how it would compare here in the Isle of Man. But what about political ideologies, Matthew? There was a time when it was thought that those that appealed to young people were sort of way out on the fringe, and they'd grow up and they'd forget about it later. But they're not now, are they? Those fringe ideologies are now part of mainstream politics in some countries. Look how many people voted for extreme parties in the UK recently.
Yes, I would say that maybe that has become more popular in certain areas. By no means amongst everyone, I wouldn't say. I think I see certainly a big spread in my school of different people, maybe slightly different views. But I wouldn't say necessarily in my life I've seen a lot of people still unequivocally opting for those what once were quite extreme views necessarily.
Okay, do you think that at different ages there apparently is quite a bit of a difference in the way 16 and 17 year olds respond to 17, 18 year olds? That 1 year makes quite a difference, especially as some of the older ones perhaps might have even got moved from home, they're doing different things, gone to university. But Isla, what do you think is, when you talk about that, the 16 and the 17-year-olds, do you think the major influence on them is their own thinking, or they're still following in father's footsteps?
I think it can be a mixture. Of course, it's different for each individual. But, of course, over the five-year term, the difference between someone being 16 when they vote and then 21 when the next election comes along, that's such a vast change in their life. They'll go through one set of exams or two and possibly, probably, be living by themselves and have gone through university. So I think it's very, very important for them, even at that young age, to be thinking about politics in that way.
Well, when we talk about thinking about politics, and during your research, Michelle, when you went round, a lot of people on that programme, for instance, one young man talked about he followed UK politics quite closely, but he had no interest at all in Manx politics. Why is this? Has this got something to do with the way that they're brought to Manx politics at school? Do we not do it in our schools?
I don't think Manx politics is covered enough or really at all in schools. When I was talking to a few of the politicians in the programme, they said there was a recent discussion in Tynwald about putting Manx politics as a as has to be in the curriculum, and then it didn't go through. There apparently is a what they call PSHE, life skills, part of us of the education system that is supposedly to cover Manx politics. But I have to say, in my school career, I have never been told about Manx politics.
So the courses that people take at school, Matthew, and there are people doing politics exam courses to schools, all based on UK and European politics, is it?
I believe so. I mean, even when you look into to maybe the broader realms of how people get involved in politics, maybe even if you go out to geography, perhaps, even then you're still very much dealing with international issues or certainly UK issues, not really the Isle of Man.
Well, how would you see then that people of your age, 17, yes?
Yes. So
people of your age are going to learn. You obviously done so, but how are your peers going to learn about the political systems and political actions and issues and other realities then, if they've not either got the incentive to do it in the first place or they've not been brought to it in the first place? How is that going to happen?
I think you perhaps got to start by hooking people. Whilst I would agree with Michelle that I haven't really had a lot of experience in terms of PSHE lessons dealing with information about Manx politics and am I aware about Manx politics, we have had a couple of assemblies by members of government coming in to maybe raise our awareness. That's not big, but it's a small thing. It's getting us started. The teachers then will follow that up with some information. Maybe there just needs to be a bigger kick after we've got that kickstart, perhaps, from these people speaking to us to then get us into our own research. I'm not quite sure how to achieve that.
When I was speaking on to various people to produce the programme, it tended to be that young people are interested in issues. They're not interested in the general politician, voting, House of Keys, whatnot. They want to talk about issues, and that's how perhaps that hook in is. The connection between politicians and issues doesn't always seem to be there, and perhaps should be made a lot clearer.
When you say connection, you mean they're more interested in the systems and the procedures than actually the results of what they're doing?
Not particularly. I mean, let's take the Brexit vote, for example. That caused a lot of interest from young people, and that really got a lot of political awareness and interest in what's going on around them, whereas actually voting for an MHK doesn't tend to be, oh, if I vote for that MHK, that issue will be addressed. Personally, that's how I see it.
Yes, mind you, our political system doesn't allow that to a degree. It means you can try and address it. You can't really do too much about it sometimes. Yes.
Indeed, yeah.
That's right, okay. We'll take a break now. We'll be back in a minute or two. The Nation Station, Manx Radio. This is Manx Radio's Sunday Man in Line, which means that it's a phone-in programme. Now, we're pretty thin on phone calls at the moment, so let me remind you once more, we would like to hear from you, especially if you're in the younger part of our society, and the telephone number to ring is 66 13 68. You can also text us to 166 177, or you can email to studio@manxradio.com. With me in the studio is Michelle Jameson. She's the young lady who wrote, produced, edited, did the lot of the documentary that you heard in the Sunday Opinion programme before the news. And with her is Isla Boyles and Matthew Unsworth. Now, which school are you from, Isla?
I'm from the Castle Rushen down in the south.
Right, and Matthew, you're too, from the same school, are you?
Yes.
Right, now, I'm just leaning over because I've been given a note to remind everybody that next Thursday, September the 1st is the last day for the submission of names to be added to the island's electoral register in time to vote in the House of Keys general election on September the 22nd. And the registration is by household, and forms can be requested either via the elections and voting section of the Isle of Man government's website. And the electoral register can be viewed at any of the following locations. That's local authority offices, the General Registry, and that's the Isle of Man Courts of Justice in Douglas, Crown Elections Unit at the Cabinet Office, and the Tynwald Library and Legislative Buildings. But if you want to cast your vote, put your X on the paper, then make sure you're on that list. And next Thursday is the last day to make sure you've done it. Under 16s are also being encouraged to register to vote, of course, and we're talking about this and how they do vote, but you can have your names added to the electoral register in advance, so in the future, so you're eligible to vote as soon as you reach your 16th birthday. So there's no real reason why you should miss out on that. And of course, if you're moving house, for those of you, make sure you take your vote with you, because residents who've moved home and not yet registered to vote at the new address have until September the 1st to do so, in order to be able to take part in the House Keys general election on September the 22nd. Well, there's three public notices, as it were. Did you find in your researches, Michelle, that quite a lot of people hadn't registered to vote, you know, in the younger category?
I found that people didn't know whether they were registered or not. I had to double check myself with my parents who had filled in a form, and they knew that they'd registered to vote. But what was interesting, and what I really wanted to find out about in creating the programme, was in terms of students that were going off to university. Lots of students will be gone the week before the election actually takes place, and that's a huge amount of students, young people on the island, that perhaps won't have the incentive to vote or even know how to vote if they're not on the island. So, and that information wasn't massively easy to find out about, but it was, you need to register for an advanced vote, which again is debatable how much that will be at the front of your mind when, you know, making that big move to university.
Right. Now, I've got a fairly lengthy email here from Albert, who says that, Roger, the measures being taken to persuade young people to vote are well-intentioned, of course. To say to young people, the future is in your hands, is only true in the very broadest sense. Regarding the general election, they will vote, and many may even find the candidate they voted for is successful. But what then? That person might possibly provide a lone voice in Tynwald, one out of 33. I witnessed the young people in the Tynwald Public Gallery when university fees were being debated. It was heartening to see their enthusiasm, confidence and interest, including notes being sent to the president of Tynwald during the debate. But I have to say it was no surprise to see their disappointment when their admirable efforts proved futile. Ask those young people if they think the future is in their hands. My advice to young people is to forget politics. Go and enjoy your lives. Go and play some games, even if that means sitting at home playing games on your computer. Just don't get old and cynical before your time, says Albert. So there we are.
Interesting.
I hope you don't take his advice about the turnout and vote. But there is an issue, of course, as to people probably expect from their MHKs a great deal more than he or she is going to be able to deliver, as it's only one voice, and sometimes a lone voice crying on occasions too.
The news at 5 o'clock, faster.
Yeah, but issue that I think comes out of that is that just how much do we expect from our parliament? What's the views? Did you find it? Have you found any views amongst your peers, Matthew, about the Isle of Man's place in the world? Do you think that perhaps that we should now be fully independent, or is that a topic that's not even come across the horizons?
I think, interestingly enough, in terms of Junior Tynwald, it came up, and when obviously we came, the group returned to school and fed back to friends, fed back to colleagues. One of the most interesting questions that came up was that of Brexit and the associated issues of what would happen to the Isle of Man now. And I think at the moment that's certainly what young people I've spoken to are thinking of, the Isle of Man in terms of the world, the Isle of Man in terms of its link to the United Kingdom, and whether that Article 3 will be renewed or reincarnated in a different form, meaning that what will happen to the Isle of Man, a result of a decision we didn't take, I guess. That's what is certainly being discussed.
So do you think that the European issue then, because of the exposure to it, has registered more with your people at school, are they? I mean, they've obviously had enormous amount of coverage of that, some of it decidedly wonky, but on the UK media.
Yeah, I think definitely my friends, we discussed the European vote for Brexit, and though we were very split over our opinion, and indeed a couple of my friends were eligible to vote in the UK election, I think that's also important, the fact that even though it's not so much an Isle of Man discussion on our even though we're not discussing an issue that's directly happening on the island, discussing politics in any form gets the ball rolling, and then hopefully other people can in your friendship group can start discussing issues close to home and discussing what change can be made to improve our island as a whole.
Do you think you'll become a political animal when you get older, Matthew, have you already got the bug?
I think certainly an interest has been developed. I think I would like to carry on voting wherever I end up living. I would like to sort of contribute and fulfil that sort of responsibility, I guess, of casting my vote. Not sure if political animal is the right term, but certainly eager to play my part.
You wouldn't consider then at a stage in the future becoming a candidate, becoming a member of a parliament?
I think it's a very difficult role. It is a very challenging role to find that balance between what's possible and what people want. And so, yeah, not a job I envy at the moment.
I don't think anybody's ever said it's easy.
No, but
it's an essential task in our society. Yeah. You fancy being a member of the House of Keys, Michelle?
I mean, never say never. But indeed, I don't feel that my space in my life right now, it's somewhere that I'd like to be, or somewhere...
Well, maybe you've got a bit of living to do yet, but...
potentially, but yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, I feel like you've got to have a very rounded view and a very good ability to listen and convey other people's views and not necessarily your own, I think, if you're representing others.
But a Member of Parliament is elected as your representative, not your delegate. You've got to exercise your judgment too.
Indeed, yeah. No, I agree with that. But I think, you know, if you're not encompassing other people, then you're not doing your job properly.
Mm. And you see, the reason I ask that is you often find people start off by doing one thing, get interested in it, maybe, Isla, and then as time goes by, they get more interested in it. And then that's where our new candidates come from. That's where a new breed of politicians come from. Do you see yourself with a political future, or is this just something you're interested in?
I'm definitely interested at the moment. I think if you go to become an MHK, you have to have it in your heart that there's no question, this is absolutely, you feel that you can make a change, or that you'll bring something to the table that no one else can. Otherwise, there's no point doing it. If you feel that someone else can do it better, or that you don't feel absolutely that you're going to make the best decision, and especially now, I don't feel like I have a full view of the world, then... there's no point going for it.
Okay, well, let's take it to the fact, though, that whether you have a full view of the world or not, you have a vote. So how do you think you could have the greatest influence on politics, then? Do you think you could influence Manx politics in any way?
Yes, if you have a vote, your vote still counts no matter what decision you make, because it's still your voice in political decisions. So even if you're a 16-year-old, you don't have a clue about politics, I still think it's worth registering to vote and even casting a vote, because it's getting your voice out there, and though you might not know at the beginning, as you get the ball rolling, you'll learn more.
Have you got a confidence in the system that we operate, if we were voting within the existing parliamentary system? Have you got a confidence in it? Do you think that it gets the results that you might need, or the future might need?
I'd say I don't know personally every detail to the political establishment, but I'd always say that there's change to be made. Like, we should always be changing different elements to see what we can make perfect and get to our optimum, and just keep improving.
Yeah, well, some of our present members of the House of Keys, Matthew, have actually gone on record as saying they think our present system is broken. Would you agree with that?
Again, like Isla, I'm not sure if I'm well versed enough, even after the Junior Tim World experience, to necessarily comment. But if they do have those views, and if it does give me some faith that they're constantly thinking of reassessment, perhaps, of never quite thinking that I mean, we live in a changing world. We've just discussed how in the future manifestos might be replaced with social media accounts, you know, entirely, without exception. And thus, I think to continue to review the political system, is it doing its job? That's a good idea.
There's quite a bit of review going on in the present House, of course, which has now been suspended until the new House comes back and we see where it goes. But this comes down, voting is only of any value, of course, if people turn out. And some of the by-elections that we've had recently have been an appalling turnout. So what do you think of the idea, like in Australia, Michelle, where this issue of young persons voting would immediately be solved if it was compulsory to vote?
I think that would give young people and any generation more of an incentive to vote, more of an incentive to actually take a real interest and devote some time into understanding why they're voting, who they're voting for. It would certainly make it more of an important thing to do, higher on the priorities list of perhaps other things that go on in people's lives. But then again, I think if you were to ask the question, what would you do if I took the vote away from you? I think that would also spur on some interest and make you more aware of actually voting and what your vote can do.
Okay, well, the awareness we're talking about where we go along, we talk about the awareness and you knowing about things, and you're all saying that you think a lot of your contemporaries probably don't pay a great deal of attention to what's going on because they say they don't know about things, even though Manx Radio and the newspapers and all the others perhaps have carried some quite considerable coverage of the story at times. Do you think the media is doing its job, Matthew? I mean, is it communicating? And does it communicate with you?
I think the media is doing its job. I think it's communicating. Maybe more people need to listen. I think it's easy to become caught up in just these sort of big sensationalist stories that we perhaps get from elsewhere, whereas maybe you need to sort of look at what's on your front doorstep instead.
Mm-hmm. What do you reckon, Isla? Do you pick a newspaper up and go through the political section, or are you reading the sport? You know, what do you do?
Mm-hmm. I think it's difficult to say because you might be able to pick up the Examiner, say, and read an article on Isle of Man politics, but that doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden your decision has been made on who your MHK might be, because you see it in the same way that Michelle said before, you can see an issue, but that doesn't necessarily attach you to the politics behind it.
No, I was just thinking as well, as though apart from at a late voting time, there's a 5-year gap in the middle where an awful lot goes on. Do you find yourself following what goes on? Does the local media give you what you need?
I'm afraid to say, I think in the middle time, I think I'd look more at UK papers than I might look at the political element of Isle of Man based papers. So, say the Times in the UK, I'd look at more the political element there, and then the Isle of Man, I might look at the social element and what's going on around in Port Erin, Port St Mary, where I live.
Right, now let's have a look here. Hi, I'd just like to add to your debate. I run my own business, also rent an industrial unit, and I spend more time at work than I do at home. Most time asleep at home, as nearly all the working people do. I'm not allowed to vote in my area that surrounds and affects me day in, day out. Do you think this is fair? So what he's actually saying is that he lives in a different place and has a vote somewhere else, but the place where he has a property and does a lot of work, he can't vote. Now, there was a time, if you go back a long, long time ago, that there was a thing called a property vote. And if you owned a property, you had a vote, you'd see people going around voting in about 6 elections and constituencies. That was stopped a while back. But do you think that somebody should have more than one vote?
I think more than one vote is a potential option. I think what's different, obviously, about the Isle of Man system is that there's no party politics. Whether that would work or not, that might solve the issue of living somewhere else in comparison to where you... Well, I mean, it potentially could work if you weren't voting for your constituency, you were voting for an overall feeling, perhaps.
What do you make of party politics, then? Because we don't really have it in any form at the moment. It is parties, but not party politics as such in the Parliament.
No. I think it makes it easier to understand and easier to vote for, perhaps, because it's quite tricky to really understand one particular candidate standing for MHK and to vote for them as opposed to another person in comparison to voting for an overall idea.
Right, well, the time now, we've got 19 minutes to two and it's just time for another break.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
And good afternoon. Welcome back to the last part of today's Man in Line, where we're discussing politics and the role of younger people in voting and indeed in Manx life to a great extent. Michelle Jameson is with us. She's the young lady who wrote and produced and edited, did a lot on the programme that you will have heard in Sunday Opinion, her report earlier on as a documentary, and also with her is Isla Boyles and Matthew Unsworth. They're both students at Castle Rushen High School. Matthew took the award for the Outstanding Participant Award, that is, in this year's Junior Tynwald. And so we're just exploring some of the issues that might affect young people, and we haven't really had any phone calls today. So if anybody is listening would like to chuck a rabbit in the field and see if we can catch it, then please do, because there must be some sort of people out there of a younger age who might have something they'd like to talk about. We talked about compulsory voting just a few minutes ago, and that's produced this email that says, interesting to read the Tynwald Hansard. Regarding the motion to make Manx politics compulsory. This was defeated. Even Minister for Education was against it, which, according to our correspondent, thinks this was a tragedy. Then again, how many teachers know or are interested in Manx politics and its history? Great discussion by these young people. Great to hear. That teenager, though, will not be voting and knows more about English politics, and English politics won't affect him or his family regarding tax, benefits, so many areas, so hopefully he will think again. So it produced a reaction there to that one. And that we've just had about one about the debate. And Albert, who was on before, has come back with another thought. He says, at the end of September, you'll be able to say to a child of 11, you can vote at the next general election. And at the end of September, you'll be able to say to a child of 6, you can vote at the general election after next. I simply don't feel that children have or should have the capacity to understand and appreciate a vote in a general election. Giving votes to 16-year-olds was a cheap gimmick. It was not asked for or demanded by anyone. No disrespect intended to your very well-informed guests today. So, I don't think it was, from my remember covering it, I don't think, and you went through this, Michelle, I don't think it was seen as a gimmick, but there were serious doubts as to whether people of 16 would become politically aware enough to cast a vote wisely.
I think the idea that when that vote was cast in Tynwald, it was very close to the next general election, and Steve Roden said himself when I was speaking to him that he didn't necessarily have full confidence in the idea when he brought it forward. He didn't necessarily think it would go through Tynwald. It was just a gauge where the political water was standing. What I would state about the 16-year-olds having a vote is that, you know, 16-year-olds can drive, 16-year-olds can leave school, we can get jobs, 16-year-olds can join the armed services. 16-year-olds can do an awful lot of things that will affect their lives if they, you know, in their vote should count, because the political system are deciding things that will affect them.
Mm. Well, how do you see yourself, Matthew? Do you see yourself as just a citizen here, or where does the term Manx come into it with you? I mean, do you see yourself as a European, or do you see yourself as a Manx person? Or a lot of people, this is quite a conceptual question, I realise, but a lot of us do understand that question. I do in particular, but I wonder whether you do. Do you see yourself as Manx?
I do see myself as Manx. I was born in the Isle of Man. I've lived in the Isle of Man all my life. I would definitely see myself as Manx. Mm.
So what does that mean to you then? Do you see it, it puts you in a different category to anybody else, or do you also see yourself as a European?
I would like to think that the Isle of Man does have its own identity. I would like to imagine that that means you're part of your... There is a strong bind to each local area, I think, in the Isle of Man, as well as the Isle of Man as a whole. Mm. I feel part of Port Erin. I used to feel part of Colby when I was younger still, even though that's going back to when I was very, very young indeed. And I think on that notion, yes, I am different to a European. Maybe if I were to move across in the future, maybe people... in general who do, because there are people who leave university across and stay there, maybe they have a more international mindset, but at the moment certainly I would consider myself Manx.
In your research, Michelle, did you find that the Manxness of the place came into it at all?
Yeah, indeed. Just speaking to one of the young ladies who was involved in the show, they were very keen on supporting the idea of agriculture and seeing whether MHKs that they're potentially voting for are supporting that notion that, you know, is very close to them. I certainly see myself as Manx, and when spending time across the UK with other people, I will describe myself as Manx from the Isle of Man, and I'm very, very proud to have my own government that represents me and that I will always come back to and always call home.
Right. What about you, Isla?
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree with Michelle. I think it's important that, especially young people, focus on the issues around them on the island. And I think that's also featured with social media, the fact that they're now globally concerned, so they see issues that aren't just down the road or on the island. They see issues across the world on their phone, on their tablet. And so it's important to make sure that we are constantly looking at the issues focused around in our local area as well.
Do you see the role of women changing in Manx politics as well? If you look at other countries, you look at other places, the United Kingdom has now got a female Prime Minister again. The Chief First Minister in Wales is a woman. The First Minister in Scotland is a woman. We can keep on going. Do seem to be taking dominant roles now. Are you hoping that perhaps we might have something similar happening in Tynwald this time around?
I think it's important to include diversity, but I think it's also important not to focus on that too much. I think we get the best people for the best job, and I think that should always be our priority, not just token gestures.
Right. So what would you vote for then? Would you vote for keeping things as they are? Would you vote for something stable? Or do you see voting as an opportunity to change things?
I think I see voting as an opportunity to make change on the island, definitely, because I think that should always be on our mind. What can we change? What can we improve? And how can we keep on going to make sure that we're not left behind on a global level? We're always changing. Like, we were the first to use the 16-year-old vote. We should constantly be trying to match that in new reforms.
We're the first to give women a vote.
Very good.
Yes, in the European sense, so that goes back a long way. But yes, but look, we look at history then, Mark, and we look at change. There's a difference, of course, between change and revolution. But if we look at revolution in various countries, it's not the poorest who start them, nor is it the richest. It's usually conditions for revolution are ripest when a prolonged period of economic and social development is followed by a short period of reversal. Now, that's what we're in at the moment. Do you think that this election might produce a few revolutionary changes within the membership of the House?
It might well tempt people to vote perhaps differently to in the way they have before. In light of that, so maybe they might vote in a revolutionary type way. Maybe it will also see the people, obviously I'm only aware of my area of Russian, my constituency, but maybe it may have prompted other people to raise more revolutionary issues, a bit different issues, to sort of, again, push the Isle of Man into a different stage.
Mm. Now, we've got an email coming here. It says, Roger, I appreciate it's Manx Radio's decision, rightly or wrongly, not to allow election candidates to campaign on your airwaves. Once the election is over, will voters be able to hear new MHK's campaign for items to be included in the programme for government? I'd be grateful if we could have an early decision from Manx Radio's policy gods. Well, first of all, William, you're attributing our management with some form of deity that doesn't exist. And secondly, there's two reasons for that, which I might explain. Manx Radio does allow candidates to campaign up to nomination day, which was on Wednesday this week, at which point a drawbridge comes up. It's a drawbridge that we didn't invent. It's part of the regulations that go with us. We have, the newspapers are not so restricted, but we are. We have to give everybody equal opportunity, and therefore that brings with it a series of problems. All of the candidates will be back on the constituency programmes, which will be starting shortly, and they had plenty of opportunity to campaign there. And it is always the policy after the elections settle down and the new MHKs have found out where the doors are and where the cupboards are, we then bring them back and find out if it's the job that they thought they applied for, and also various new ideas. We do this every time that there's an election, William, and I'm sure we'll do it again this time. So that'll be after the general election. Right, that's that one. And now, Andrew, as Michelle, Matthew and Alice Yes, right. This is quite good. As Michelle Matthew and Alice's retired head teacher, I thought I would contribute two summary thoughts. To listen to these young people fielding questions and sharing their views with such poise and confidence is very heartening. They're setting the right example to others, and I hope that their peers will be inspired to become more informed and politically aware. I hope that our prospective and current politicians at all levels take the opportunity to listen to their contributions with great care. They will find it time well spent. And that was Andrew Cole, who we all, I gather, know well by the look on your faces. Right, that's fine. Now, let's just perhaps just have a look. When you talk about this change that I've just asked Isla about, where do you think that the young people of the Isle of Man fit in the sort of international concept? Do you think that they're left or right? Do you think they're socialist in their views? Do you think they're where do you think that the young people in the Isle of Man fit, Matthew?
I would be tempted, be it just my circle of friends, be it just the experience I've had with people, to suggest slightly more moderate, perhaps, than in the UK. I think you do hear a lot about young people being typically more socialist, perhaps, and having more of a penchant for those more slightly more radical views, perhaps, on either side of the political spectrum. Whereas I do think maybe people here are slightly more moderate. Whether that's because of a potentially a lack of interest, or whether that's just because people actually sort of regulate a bit more and just stick to the middle, perhaps, I'm not quite sure.
Right, well, we're right at the end of the programme, virtually, so can I just ask you for a one-liner, Michelle? Left or right or in the middle? Where are we for the young?
I wouldn't like to state. I think that the young people can are very varied in their political opinion, and that everyone deserves to have their own opinion, and to generalise that is just not the case.
Okay. Isla?
I'd agree. I think young people need to explore politics more before we can start to discuss whether they generally have an opinion. And I think we'd find that it's definitely balanced.
Well, look, let me ask, thank you, the three of you, for joining us today on this programme. We haven't had a lot of public contribution today. I think they've been sitting back and listening to you all. So thank you for making such an excellent programme. Michelle Jameson, Isla Boyles and Matthew Unsworth are our three studio guests here. Catherine Nicol was on the switch and is the producer. I'm Roger Watterson, and we'll be back next week. Goodbye.